This is The David Webb Show.
Welcome back to the David Webb Show here on SiriusXM Patriot Channel 125. I'm Tim Young, filling in for David Webb. Joining me right now is the spokesperson for the National Police Association, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. I'm going to bring you in. There we go. Where do we begin here? There's crime is going crazy. The folks who are in office, not the police officers, are refusing to enforce certain crimes, especially in California. They're refusing to prosecute people properly when they are arrested by police. What's it like being the spokesperson for the National Police Association when it really seems like so many cities are allowing themselves to ignore police, defund them, and basically let themselves go into the shitter?
Well, Tim, I'm really, really busy, and I have to work hard to keep my blood pressure low. Let me just say that. You know, I was a cop for 29 years. But it's a real privilege to be able to engage the media and talk about the profession that I love so much and try and speak for the men and women that are still out there trying to keep their communities safe, because it's increasingly frustrating, obviously, on so many levels.
And it also speaks to their character and how much they care about their communities when you're seeing basically police become villainized by a lot of politicians, and again, their work is just being erased by bad prosecutors. And I mean, there are just so many bad decisions on the chain beyond them, and they continue to serve their towns because they just believe in the profession, they believe in being the first responder, and they care about people, right?
Yeah, we truly see it as a mission. You know, in addition to doing this, I'm a police trainer, so I'm fortunate to travel around the country and talk to police officers in so many different states and actually around the world. And it really is that sense of mission. But, you know, we have had this war on cops really since 2014, since the Obama administration and the shooting of Michael Brown. And then now for the last 3 years, we have seen this ramped up effort to demonize and vilify American law enforcement and to attack the American justice system and try to convince people that the system is wrong and it's racist and it's this and it's that. And, you know, we've got these 70 plus George Soros installed prosecutors like Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. Everybody got to hear him yesterday talk about the shooter, the mass shooter. And you know, he's doing no good for his community, and yet he rails that we need more gun laws, and yet he won't enforce the ones that are already on the books.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's common sense that obviously criminals aren't going to follow any kind of new law that you put out there anyway. So I don't understand the logic there, and I don't understand how people follow along with that logic and think it's a good idea. In particular, I have the note for our interview today is to talk about Chicago and what's happening there. But I grew up in Baltimore. Obviously, Philadelphia is a crime-ridden city now. I mean, at some point, do the politicians wake up and say, hey, maybe we should make our towns more livable?
There are a few that are trying to. And you saw this, you know, in the last, 18 months. Even 2 years, you've seen a bit of a backing away from the defund the police movement. In other areas, you've seen a tripling down of it. Look at Minneapolis, for example. You know, you still have, I mean, we just saw police officers on 4th of July attacked by Somali teens with fireworks, and yet, you know, nothing will happen. You know, Minneapolis was attacked by the Biden administration, by the DOJ, and now they're under a consent decree. And of course, where you grew up in Baltimore, you know, Baltimore is number 8 in most gun control laws, and yet we just had a mass shooting. And when you look at the drone shots of that crime scene, of that mass shooting, what did you see? Blocks and blocks and blocks of red Solo cups. You know, this is turning quickly from a law enforcement issue to a parenting issue to the heart of society issue. Where are the parents? These were mostly teenagers. And yet they're out drinking, they're out carousing, and unfortunately some lost their lives and were horrifically damaged. But again, Chicago, my native Chicago, you know, we've got constant gang shootings, we've got the teen takeovers, and yet the ACLU now has decided to once again sue Chicago PD. 10 years ago, it was for pedestrian stop and frisk type activity. Now it's for traffic stops, that they're making too many traffic stops involving people of color, and yet where are these traffic stops taking place? In the South and West Side, where the residents are mostly people of color. The ACLU doesn't care about crime. They don't care about crime victims. They care about trying to convince people that they are victims of the system. And now we're in this criminal-centric justice system, and nobody except cops seems to care about the crime victims.
It's unbelievable. It really is. And I spent some time in Indiana and Kentucky, and I won't say what town because I don't want to say who it was, but I was hanging out with the police chief there, and he's like, "We don't enforce we don't do traffic citations anymore. It's just not worth it. It's not worth to put our guys at risk, and it's just not worth it for the stress and the headache." And it's like, I just can't believe that's where we are in this country. And on the same side, not to make it about me here, but I got pulled over at I think it was Christmas we were driving home or Thanksgiving we were driving home in upstate New York, and we were talking with the cop, and I got a ticket, it's fine, I was speeding, and he was like, "You guys are the nicest people we have ever pulled over," and I was like, "What?" I'm like, I'm just being having a normal conversation with the guy, and I'm like, "Yeah, you got me, whatever, give me the ticket," and like, there's such disrespect for police in the field now. That it's shocking that the guy was like, "You guys are so great, blah blah blah, thank you so much," and you know, still got to give you a ticket, but it's wild. I mean, can this be fixed at this point?
Well, it absolutely can be fixed. You know, as far as the crime problem goes, let's go back to the 1990s and look at the horrific crime and drug problem we had in this country when legislators like, Joe Biden, passed legislation, talked about super predators, things like that. And we had mayors like Rudolph Giuliani come in and engage in broken windows policing that swept the country, and we brought crime down to some of the lowest levels, certainly the lowest levels in my lifetime. And so we know how to do it. American law enforcement knows how to do it. So do our prosecutors, so do our judges. But we also, it's not just enough to refund the police, we have to lift up law enforcement. I'd like everybody who was an adult during right after 9/11/01, think about how you felt about your first responders, your firefighters, your law enforcement officers. If we could go back to that kind of respect and admiration, and combined with those 1990s anti-crime policies, we could fix this country. We could do it in a year or so. But if you don't punish people, they're not going to stop committing crimes.
Yeah, what do you hear? Because you're out talking with all these guys on a regular basis. I mean, what's it like when they put away a violent offender, and then the prosecutor lets the guy back out on, you know, little to no bail, just releases him right back out? I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest slaps in the face, right?
It's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, we talk a lot now in the profession about police officer mental health. And that wears at a cop's soul. It wears at their heart. Because, again, they work so hard to catch these criminals, put together a great case, and to have it just, you know, to either tossed out or have the guy back on, you know, the street before they can even finish the report is incredibly frustrating for law enforcement. But they don't stop. But the problem we're having with that is cops who would have stayed for 25 or 30 or 35 years are now leaving the minute they can retire. They hit that 20 and they're like, "You know what, I'm out." Or they leave places like New York, Chicago, Seattle, L.A., and they go to either rural areas in Wyoming or Montana, or they go to Florida where there are far more law enforcement friendly policies. And, you know, you're going to get paid more if you're an L.A. cop. You're going to get treated better if you're a Central Florida cop, and they know that. So what you're going to have is almost like these police deserts, if you will. We always hear the left talk about food deserts. You're going to have areas of the country where there's just not enough cops. Right now, 9 out of every 10 police departments in this country is short-staffed. And we call that a crisis.
It is. It really is. And then you see videos, not to be, I'm kind of being non-sequitur with this because my brain is all over the place with all the questions I have for you. But like, you look at like San Francisco on the 4th of July where like tourists were just sitting around watching their cars get looted in front of them. I mean, do they even bother to enforce any kind of laws in San Francisco at this point?
Well, you know, they got rid of their extremely progressive DA in Chesa Boudin, and now they have a slightly less progressive prosecutor. But again, they're shorthanded, and they have city leadership who says, no, you can't arrest people for this whole host of crimes. So a lot of those situations, it's a paper report. You turn in, you know, you do it online, you turn into your insurance company, and you go from there. And what's going to happen, and we're already seeing this happen in California, is insurance companies are saying, you know what, we're going to stop. We're not going to underwrite these, you know, houses and cars and things if there's absolutely no security. And, you know, if you're wealthy enough to, you know, to have a completely fenced-in yard where you can keep your car safe, or you're wealthy enough to hire private security in your subdivision, that's great. So who ends up being the crime victim? The people of lesser means, the poorer people, the people that you know, the far left says they want to protect. They don't care about those people. All they care about is their own progressive policies and creating continued chaos in this country.
I mean, you just, it's so disheartening when you see all this stuff. Let's talk about good stuff. Now, you served, how long did you serve for?
I was a police officer for 29 years.
What was your favorite memory in all of that time?
Oh, gosh, I have a million, but I did get to deliver a baby, and I delivered a couple, but I delivered one baby on Halloween, and 18 years later, I got invited to her high school graduation party, and that was absolutely one of the best memories ever, to see this young woman who turned out to be an extraordinary young woman. And so, yeah, that's absolutely one of my happiest memories. But, gosh, when you're a cop for 29 years, you do get to do so much good. You know, catching a murderer, stopping a rapist, finding a runaway. Just so many extraordinary memories. And that's why I would tell young people, you know, don't listen to the media. Don't listen to the activists. It's a great job, and you never have the same day twice.
Yeah, no kidding. That's wild, and I can only imagine. By the way, I've been really hooked on. I'm taking you off script here. We're going to talk about stuff that I've been really hooked on, like the body cam videos lately. And I've learned, and I'm sure you've learned this in your 29 years, if you're ever drunk and the officer gives you an opportunity to walk home, do that. Just or like take the Uber home, because every one of these body cam videos, and I'm sure you've seen enough in your career, but I'm still amused by them, are these people who want to like pick a fight and stand around and argue when they're given an opportunity to leave. And even now, a lot of times officers were offered to get them a ride home and they don't take it. It's incredible to me how dumb certain people who end up getting arrested are.
Yeah, alcohol and motor vehicle operation is never a good mix. And I can't tell you in 29 years how many drunks I have argued with, you know, over various circumstances. And you know, and this was, I was just talking to somebody else about this morning. One of the great things about body cameras, remember, just a few years ago, it was, you know, the activists said, we've got to have body cameras so we can show how brutal cops are and all that. And so, okay, we all got body cameras. And then a few years later, the activist said, this isn't fair because it's showing people in a bad light. What body cameras did was show the average person like you exactly what cops deal with on a daily basis. And they're a great tool for really protecting our honor, as well as bringing good evidence into court.
My favorites, and again, sorry to be off off topic, and then I'll get back on. But my favorites are when a politician is pulled over and they mouth off at the officer, and you know, and they say they're mistreated, and then the body cam footage comes out, and it's like, no, that dude was a dick. Like, and the cop was great and incredibly patient. You learn how incredibly patient police officers are and have to be. For like the literal human headaches they deal with in the field, right?
Yeah, the "Do you know who I am?" traffic stop is something that no cop looks forward to. I've certainly been involved in them, and I'll tell you, again, that's why body camera is so important, so that people can really see. Because, you know, anybody can lie. When I was a sergeant for a long time, and I would have people come into the station and say, "Your cop was rude to me. He did this. She did that." And I'd say, "Oh gosh, you know, let's deal with this right now. We're going to pull up the body camera right here, and let's take a look at it." And you know, 9 times out of 10, they stand up and say, "Never mind." So that was always one of the enjoyable parts of my job, was to be able to protect the honor of one of my men or women who, again, they're just trying to do, cops are just trying to do the right thing, but they're human.
Yeah. So our moral of the story today and our lesson for everybody is just be nice to cops. When you get pulled over, just be nice. Like, it's probably your fault that you're getting pulled over. So just like when I got pulled over at Thanksgiving, I was like, "Yeah, you got me." I was doing like 90 and like a 65. It's fine. Nobody else was out on the road. It's all me. So just, you know, I hung out and joked around with the guy for a little bit and took my ticket and paid my fine. But just be nice to these guys. You don't know. Again, a lot of people don't realize what officers go through. Like you said, like every day is different, and like you guys see and deal with things that are so much more stressful now, especially in bluer areas. And so, if you encounter a cop, just be nice. And I think your message was great with, you know, right after 9/11. You know how much we like highly regarded our first responders were at that time. I've never forgotten that, and I think a lot of people have actually forgotten. So how do we fix this country? How do we get this all back together? You said, changing a few things, but like, what's the overall plan? What is the National Police Association's plan here?
Well, we need to pay attention to local elections. You know, the reason that we have these far left prosecutors is because nobody really pays attention to their local county prosecutor's election. Pay attention to what's happening locally. Think about who you're voting for mayor, for prosecutor, for sheriff, things like that. All politics are local, as they say. And you also, we encourage you, you know, go to our website and look at all the things you can do to help support the American law enforcement officer. Again, our mental health is often at stake. So seeing one of those thank a cop billboards that the National Police Association puts up around the country, or just having somebody come up and shake our hand and say thank you for your service, to read about some of that. We post so many positive articles about American law enforcement, to see all the good that cops are doing every single day. Know what's happening nationally, but know what's happening locally. And if your local police department has a citizen police academy or a volunteer program, get involved in it. Get your kids involved in groups like Police Explorer or Youth Diversion Jury, things like that. Get involved and know what's happening locally, and that will turn things around nationally. Most police departments in this country are less than 10 officers. Most people's police departments are small. Get to know them. Get to know your chief. Get to know your sheriff. Get to know your local cop that's cruising by your house. Wave to him with your whole hand, not one finger, and smile and thank him.
I love it. Listen, I got to throw it a break, but I'm going to reach out to the National Police Association. I have my own podcast, the Tim Runs His Mouth podcast, and I'd love to have you on and talk a little bit more about like all the body cam stuff, because my fiance, who's the co-host, and I just followed you on Twitter, so I'll slide into your DMs too, but I'm so obsessed with these body cam videos, and I think reviewing a few of them would be really fun to do with you if you ever have the time to do it. So
I look forward to it.
That would be so much fun. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, thank you for everything that you've done and your years of service, and also for being out there on the front lines to now carry on the messaging to hopefully get people to wake up and go change at the local level and help our country get back to actual law and order and being peaceful. How about that? Crazy concept. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.